going to talk a little bit about nitrogen management in Louisiana. My co-authors are Gary Breitenbeck. He's on the main campus of Baton Rouge. Don Bocay, who's at the Macon Ridge Station. Ernie and myself's at Northeast Station. This next little map here can show most of our acreage in Louisiana is in our Mississippi River alluvial soils, which of course borders west of the Mississippi River here. We have some in a fair amount of the northwest, but it's the last few years the acreage has really been concentrated in these alluvial soils. Now, corn in Louisiana, and like a lot of the southern states, basically our recommendations have come from empirical data, field trials across the state. Now, we do not use a nitrate soil test, and the reason being, we usually have over about 60 inches of rain. I see I've changed everything to metric. I missed that one there, so I could read that. 60 inches of rain in the state of Louisiana. So nitrate, of course, is very mobile in the soil, and the soil test has not worked out very good for us predicting nitrogen. Now, I did a quick little survey around the southeast for us. What parameters do they use to recommend in? And I found only two states, I may have missed one, only two states use a nitrate soil test, that's Texas and Tennessee. About all of them use yield potential, and probably one of the ones that was interesting is Arkansas. Again, I'm going to go back and forth between this metric and English, I prefer English. On the silt and sandy soils, up to 125 pounds, I think they use about 1.2 pounds. Over 125, they go up to 1.4 pounds of N per bushel of corn. Now, on our silty clay and clay soils, up to 125 bushels, they use 1.8. And over 125, they use 2. So that was probably the most extreme, the ones I saw. But about all the states use yield potential. In the case of Louisiana, we use it too, kind of indirectly. We break it out by soil group and by whether or not you use irrigation. Alluvial soils, you can see, of course, the recommendation goes up as with irrigation. For example, on the alluvial with irrigation, recommendation about 180 to 240 pounds per acre, or 270 kilograms per hectare. On upland soils, the recommendation is a little bit lower. Those are generally shallower soils, and the yield potential is not quite as high. And this is just some data we've accumulated over the years. The Commerce silt loam is one of our it's real good soil. Mississippi River soil is a cotton type soil. It's very deep, has good water holding capacity. And you can see here, generally looking at these yield curves, and I have a relative yield on the y-axis, around 150. We max out around 150 to 180 pounds per acre, around 168 kilograms per hectare. Now, on the Sharkey clay is one of our. This is a shrink swale type soil with a fair amount of mumbronite type clay in it. You can see we're topped out here around 168.2, but in this data set, a lot of these yields are probably running around 120 bushels. In recent calibration data where we irrigated and had good yield potential, we go up to about 210 to 220 pounds per acre, optimum N rate. Now, with precision farming, of course, a lot of new terminology has popped up, GIS, electrical conductivity, grid sampling. I think that's pretty well come and gone, I believe, at least in the original format. And of course, yield monitor, that's a very, very important aspect of precision ag. Now, we've got a group at LSU that's doing a lot of work with the Varis rig and determining EC, and they're doing a lot of work with cotton and nematodes with this, and it's working very well to identify the sandy spots. This particular shot here, the Varis runs 0 to 12 inches, and then you can also 0 to 30, and the white areas basically are sandy areas in the field. Whereas the red, these bright red, dark here is the more clay areas in the field. So it's easy to break out. Of course, your nematodes and cotton would be more of a severe problem in the sandier areas. So we've got a cotton group that's working with this pretty intensively right now. Green Seeker, of course, we're using that, and talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, of course, what we're trying to do is increase nitrogen fertilizer use efficiency. On those two soils I just showed, the NFUE on the Commerce silt loam is pretty good. But on the clay soil, the the fertilizer use efficiency drops down drastically, but just because of the nature of that soil, it, like I say, it shrinks wells, and it's the rooting depth is probably not as deep on the Sharkey versus the Commerce. And of course, applying the optimum rate, you don't want to, we've had a lot of talks, we don't want to apply too much in. And I think that's the case in Louisiana. I've heard this mentioned in some other previous speakers. We probably apply too much in some cases. Of course, timing of the in application data, corn does not start accumulating nitrogen until it's rapidly, until about 6 to 8 leaf stage. So if you can hold off some of their data, and we have some data too kind of showing that. Another thing you might be able to do is split applications. Now, because of spatial and temporal variability, in my mind, optimum in rate is site as well as year specific. In other words, you're dealing with a moving target there. And so what we're kind of doing is see if you can manage the nitrogen during the season. We're applying, looking at in rates, we apply right about 2-3 leaf stage, 32% nitrogen, and then we're coming back and applying it at tassel emergence, usually ammonium nitrate, just to see if we can adjust the rate. And then we've been looking at green seeker and spad meter, and also we've been pulling leaf samples and, of course, looking at total in the leaf tissue. Now, this late season end test we looked at on the Sharkey clay at the Northeast Research Station. Again, it's right along the rivers of Mississippi River alluvial soil. And as I mentioned, early season end, and I'll show you the rates in a minute, applied at about the 2-3 leaf stage, late season about when that tassel emerges. One nice thing about that is when the tassel emerges, if you fly on the fertilizer, you don't have to worry about it going down in that whirl and burning the corn very bad. It's just going to basically follow the ground, as long as, of course, you don't want the plant wet. Now here's some data, kind of preliminary data we did in 05. We applied 180, 210, and 240 pounds in early season, and then we come back and applied 0, 30, or 60 at the tassel emergence. And basically what we found, and we was up around 240, this is irrigated. We had some extremely good yields. We was up around 250 bushels of corn per acre, which is very, very unusual. That's extreme, you know, to have that high yield. But basically what we found here, that the total N, you had optimum yield, it didn't matter if you split the nitrogen or not. The total N is what, you know, the yield responded to total N, whether it was all put out early season or between early season and at tassel emergence. Now, in 06, we kind of expanded that. We looked at 150, 180, 210, 240, and 270. We wanted to go up to an extremely high rate so we wouldn't have a yield limiting factor, because we determined our NDVI and spad meter regions on a relative basis, and we use that as our denominator in our calculation, a high yield in the plots with non-limited nitrogen, so how we determine relative NDVI readings and relative spad readings. But you can see on the non-irrigated Sharkey clay, we basically had no response to late nitrogen. And we did have a response to the early in application, but we did not. And we topped out here about 120, 130 bushels of corn per acre. Now, irrigated in 06, we had a nice window up to about 100, went up close to 200 bushels there. And we had a nice response to, particularly at the low end rates, particularly this 150 pound rate, we jumped yield. And basically, it was the same, again, similar to the 05 test. It didn't matter if you split it, just the total N would determine your yield. And again, we went out, of course, we're not at all recommending any of this. We just wanted to, of course, we had the late in applications over each of the early season applications. Now we looked at, like I mentioned, we used a green seeker. Went in there in 06 at the June 2nd, that's the day, I think we applied the late in of that day or the next day. Well, like I say, we determined relative NDVI versus, of course, the N rates. And basically, the established, in the literature, the established critical level is about 4.95. So you can see on neither the non-irrigated or the irrigated did the green seeker pick up any differences, or would have not predicted that response to this 150 pound rate, because it was up around 1. So neither the green seeker, at least in 06, was not able to pick that up. Now the SPAD meter, this is the relative SPAD readings, going about 0.75 to 1.1, and again across early season end rates. And again, this was taken June the 2nd, the day before we applied our latent nitrogen. Now, the SPAD meter with the, keep in mind, non-irrigated, we did not get a response. On irrigated, we did get a response, particularly at this low end rate of 150 pounds. Now, the SPAD meter did show, based on the relative SPAD meter reading, it did indicate a response to the late in application. Now, this is correlations between RN DVI and relative SPAD meter readings with leaf nitrogen that was taken at the early silk, right around about tassel emergence, early silk stage. You can see the with and without irrigation. You can see the relative SPAD meter readings had much higher R values, much better correlations with leaf nitrogen than did the green sickle readings, RN DVI readings. Now, 07, we had a similar test. In 07, we added a check plot. The non-irrigated, there was some significance there, but it was hard. Of course, we increased yield at the zero level. There was a slight increase at the 150. But I think this interaction was basically, for some reason, these yields dropped off with the late nitrogen at these higher end rates. And I can't really explain that. Now, the same when we irrigated, again, was up around 200, 210 bushels. And again, we had the same response we had in 06. This early end rate, of course, the check, and at this 150 pound rate, 168 kilogram per hectare rate, we increased yield considerably with the late nitrogen of 60. We applied 60 pounds in per acre, or 67 kilograms. And again, you can see, if you compare that with the just early season rate at the same rate, the split versus the single application, early on there was no difference. Now again, in 07, we took three readings of the green seeker and the SPAD at May 17. Again, we applied the N right around, just similar to 06, right around June 2nd, was tassel emergence. So we started about 2 weeks prior. And again, the RN DVI readings, basically, one here was slightly less than 90.95. But basically, it did not, for the non-irrigated test, and again, keep in mind, of course, we didn't have a response on non, or a slight response on non-irrigated, and it did not indicate a response based on those readings. The SPAD meter, now this was the irrigated test in 07, the RN DVI, and again, we had a response to the late nitrogen at this early rate, but it did not, based on the NDVI readings, it did not indicate a response. Now the SPAD meter, they jumped around pretty good, non-irrigated. And again, we had only a slight response on the non-irrigated test. And again, for all three dates, they were well above, or they were right around the 0.95 level or above, so it did not indicate a recommendation of the late nitrogen. Now, on the irrigated test, where we had a nice response, the SPAD meter, the relative SPAD meter readings did indicate at this low level here, both the May 17th and the June 1st sampling date, that it did indicate a need for a nitrogen. Here's the correlations between RNDVI and the relative SPAD meters. SPAD meter readings with leaf nitrogen taken again at early tassel. And again, in general, of course, it increased with both NDVI and SPAD with irrigation. But again, the relative SPAD meters had a much better correlation with leaf nitrogen than the green seeker readings, both with and without irrigation. So, conclusions of this part of the test. We've shown in other states, Arkansas and I think North Carolina, shown that the applications as late as early tassel can increase yield if needed. But again, we're not recommended, if needed. That's the key, I think, the key words there. Data suggests that a single application is effective split applications. Now that's based, again, on these clay soils. If you get a lot of rain, we did not have excessive rain in either year that we did this study. Maybe rain, we lose a little bit of nitrogen denitrification. Results could definitely be different. In this test, and I think it's similar to some other tests, the SPAD readings seem to be more effective than the green seeker in predicting late season nitrogen response, at least taking the readings as late as we did in the season. More research is needed to properly define in-season nitrogen management. Now, one concern, I've mentioned it going into the talk, is applying too much nitrogen. I think that's a problem we have. We sure don't want to go out and start breaking, putting all this nitrogen out at early tassel. Particularly, we have a common rotation in Louisiana and the Mid-South, of course, is cotton, corn. And of course, one thing is economics with the high price of fertilizer. You don't want to go out there and be throwing on something, particularly if you don't need it. And it also may be detrimental to the following crops, such as cotton, if you go out there and leave a lot of residual carryover. And again, as I mentioned early on, soil, we do not have a good soil test in Louisiana, or I don't think in the Mid-South, to really elucidate this residual end. Matter of fact, a longer-term test of Gary's and Don's back in the 80s, they had a residual test, and they had grew crops, and they knew the residual fertilizer was there. And they took took soil samples down to 6 feet and ran both nitrate and ammonium, and they just were not, they couldn't pick it up. And the plants were indicating a response to residual end, in a long-term test. And this is a test to kind of show that. This was corn following cotton. This was a long-term rotation test back in the late 90s. The 0, 28, 56, and 84, that was the end rate on the previous year's cotton crop. And then we come back and put out 0, 150, 200, 250 pounds in per acre on the corn. You see no difference whatsoever in the corn. But you look at cotton following corn, it's a different situation. Again, here's our previous year's corn rates, 0, 150, 200, 250, and then here's our end rates for the cotton. And you see here that 56 kilograms of N per hectare with this carryover was effective. So you basically included there that you could decrease your N rate about 30 pounds cotton, and that's about 30%. That's a significant drop. And just the last couple of slides, we've tried to see if we can determine this residual N. So we're going in there planting, say, corn, plant a cover crop. We're using the cover crop as a bioassay. Go in there and kill it, pull samples, determine the total accumulation in that cover crop. And we use like wheat or cereal rye. And then we plant cotton and to try to determine, we're trying to come up with this residual nitrogen index based on using the cover crop as a bioassay. Now, this, like in 04, we went there and planted, this is where we had the corn, and you can see we went up to 250 pounds in per acre. You see we leveled off there between, looked like 150 and 200. And then the next year we planted cotton. Now we put about 20 pounds of nitrogen on this cotton simply because we wanted to make sure the roots went on down in the rhizosphere. We didn't want to go zero in the little stunted plants. So we put out 20 pounds blanket. And you can see how that cotton crop jumped up. This was zero, the previous year zero on the corn. And you see here with the 100, we're picking up a fair amount of residual in, even with the 150 pound rate on the corn, where the critical level on corn remember is about 150 to 180. So we were actually picking up some residual N at 150, and then it jumped up pretty good when we applied 200 to the previous year's corn crop. So again, like I say, we have the cover crops planted between right after the corn, and we go in there and we cut the coarse cover crop off the ground, determine dry weight, nitrogen, and determine the total N accumulation. And like I say, we're going to try to correlate all this when we continue in this test and see if we can come up with a residual N index, because that's one of our big problems in Louisiana. In the nitrogen recommendations, it's pinning down if we have any carryover from the previous crop. I believe that's the last slide.
Any questions?
Oh, clear? Well, no. Okay. Yeah, but I didn't mention a lot of chemicals was put on the cotton just to control the growth and all excess, because, of course, some of you may not. Cotton is a perennial, and you don't want to go in that vegetative state and start growing versus producing the bulbs and the limbs. So, yeah, it was a lot of picks and all put on it to control that growth. Yeah, we wanted to see. Yes, that's right.
Any more questions? Let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.